This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia and he's done it! There's the reply! Barry at the heart! History made!
It's James Beattie! Oh, Belter!
Mane for the hat-trick!
Lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe and give us good vibes. Let's go.
In That Number, this is episode 156. Another week and yet another loss. This time, an embarrassing 3-0 loss at Brentford. I think the white flag is well and truly waving now. Once again, we're all suffering and just wish this miserable season would end. And it's going to be difficult today. And I want to change things up a bit because nobody wants to hear a recount of that game. And so today, I want to discuss your thoughts and you know, on this current crisis the club has found itself in. And I heard from a few of you over the last day, well, since the Brentford result. So we'll go through those and then we'll have a chat about the next loss at home to Liverpool on Tuesday the 17th. But before that, let's bring in Tim to go through this pain with me. Incidentally, no Kevin today. Unfortunately, he's on his holidays still. So we'll see him again very soon. But Tim, forget about the football for a second. How are you doing?
You know, I am excited. It is a few days and I'll be in the UK and we can hang out together.
That is cool. That's good for this whole crisis at the moment. That's a plus.
You have a shoulder to cry on and we have mutual shoulders to cry on as we get pummeled by Liverpool next game.
Yeah, we can all hold each other. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And now you can let rip about this team, constantly finding new ways to make our lives miserable. But how are you about this whole situation?
So, I mean, there's a whole lot that we want to that you want to be able to talk about. But, you know, top down approach and just kind of if you're neutral, you're going to look in and say, wow, outside of like a couple good spells, Ralph's been shit for the last 3 years and then 2-0 losses and. You know, why aren't you changing? What do you do? What's going on with that? But we as Southampton fans who are really immersed in it know that there's a lot more that goes into it. One is the investment in the club, Gao now being out. We have new owners, so that's an opportunity going forward to think about. But retroactively, Ralph's kept us in. That's the biggest thing, and that's kind of where we are at as a club. So beyond the players, there's also then, is the players best for the system? Are we set foot with the type of system that we have? And then last but not least is, do we have the emotional and mental capabilities to push past what is a lot of potential issues that we just have as a club. So a lot to wrap up, and kind of seeing that as a top down approach. I don't know where we go from here.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm trying to stick to this Brentford game as a whole, because, but you know, I mean, I felt a lot better before the Brentford game, as we all did. And now this has happened again. You just seem to be thinking, right, you're not taking this Brentford defeat. You're taking the season as a whole now, because you want this season over with, and you know, you've got Liverpool at home, you've got Leicester away. You're looking at those and you're thinking losses. Why wouldn't you? But, you know, since that 3-1 win over West Ham in the Cup, that's 11 games, 8 losses, 2 draws, that one win, scored 8 and conceded 28. I mean, in total, 26 points from winning positions dropped. It is absolutely appalling. When you look at it on a, you know, like that, that's not good enough and nothing's changed. You know, scored 8, conceded 28. It's ridiculous. It's not good enough. We don't deserve this. You know, we shouldn't have to put up with this and seeing nothing change. Especially, you know, this stage of the season, it's horrible. Fans want out, and there's a lot of fans that I've spoken to that are seriously not going to renew their season tickets next year because they don't want to pay, you know, upwards of £400 every year to watch this. It's just not fun anymore. So yeah, that's where we all are. And we'll discuss, like, whether you want Ralph in or Ralph out, or whether you feel like we should give him more time. And we'll hear from a few of you as well that have messaged in. But we'll do all that in a bit. We need to head over to the ITN News.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay then, ITN News. We'll start with the news from Tino. You, unless you're living under a rock, you all know that he's going to miss the remainder of the 2022 year, and with that ACL injury. And apparently he's having the surgery next week, but I guess it'll be this week by the time this comes out. Tim, you touched on this a couple of weeks ago after the Brighton game when he had this injury, saying that, you know, we'll look at, to see how long it takes before the surgery can be put in. And I'm guessing this was down to, you know, swelling of the joint.
Yeah, just swelling overall in the knee and the catastrophicness of the injury. Sometimes it can be less than a week that you're able to go in and get it taken care of. But for Tino, what are we looking at, like 2 or 3 weeks now? That's not as positive. And I talked about how that is a initial sign. Now we'll see what happens when the surgery, if it takes, and then any other lingering type of ailments that come from it. So we mentioned that there was an ACL, and they mentioned that it's going to be out for the calendar year, and that's 7 months. So what else is in the knee that's a problem? And they'll really won't be able to find out until they get in there and really kind of be able to take a look at it. So you'll see probably a positive report that Tino had successful surgery, and we look forward to having him back and as quickly as possible, and he'll begin his recovery as soon as he can. But time will tell. We have to start looking at options for, and this might be, this is where a loan might be for a year.
Yeah, Ralph has said that he wouldn't rule out bringing in another right back.
I think that is probably the case, because even if he is back, say in January or February, at what capability is he going to be? So we don't know that. We can't be concerned. So we should be concerned about that. But I think the next entire Premier League season, we shouldn't look to count on Tino. Because you'll then see towards the end in March and April, when he comes back, the explosiveness as he have, is the comfort level of getting back into it. And then the mental capacity to get back from such a serious injury. So to me, you break the policy. Don't worry about age. If you're going to bring in a 31-year-old right back who's got a ton of experience, who can back up KWP, go for it. I think next season's a wash for Tino, and we want to have that spot filled. And is Valerie the right person? I don't think so. I think Valerie is seen as a right center back, and who knows if Ralph is gone, we don't.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Everything can change.
Ralph might not be here to make this decision. It might be on somebody else. So we don't know. We just wish him the best, and hopefully the surgery goes well. And, you know, I'm sure the news will be out within the week of how his surgery went. Tim, James Ward-Prowse got shortlisted for goal of the month. I guess nobody seems to really care about it now. You know, that free kick against against Leeds on the 2nd of April. So, yeah, if you can be bothered, just go and vote if you haven't done so already. Did you watch the Players Awards, Tim?
No, I did not.
No. I mean, it's hard to believe in a time like this that, you know, the club puts on an evening of celebration and nobody seemingly feeling like celebrating. Well, not the fans, anyway. Or indeed the first team, but I mean the youngsters, the scholars, and the women, of course, they deserve their evening. I'll just go through the awards if you're unaware. So the Scholar of the Year was won by Dominic Ballard, and the Women's Awards. The goal of the season was Kayla Rendell against Ipswich. Now she's a goalkeeper, so that was a great moment and probably deserved. And I actually voted for that one as well because of the opponent and the goalkeeper and the timing of the goal. It was just a great moment. And the Players' Player was Lucia Kendall. The Fans' Player was Laura Rafferty. The first team then, the President's Choice was Tino Livramento. Goal of the season was Prowsey against Wolves, rightly so, I believe. That was a thunderous hit, and it was kind of like knuckleball, wasn't it? A different technique to what he normally does. And Players' Player was Prowsey, and the Fans' Player was Prowsey. So, yeah, he gets the hat-trick. Probably deserved. I think he's been our best, most consistent player throughout the season. Would you agree with them, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. I could see why he would be that way. Re-signing that new contract at the beginning of the season, which seems so long ago. But he is Southampton through and through. His face right now is the first person you think of when you think of Southampton. And to me, well-deserving for many, many, many reasons. He did have that three-game spell that he was out and kind of slow to get back into it after the red card. So... there's between the WPs, I think JWP and KWP, those are our two real strong candidates for Player of the Year, and JWP, not a fault at all by picking him for everything that he's done for the club, between just the leadership, the progression as a captain, and then the free kicks, goals, set plays overall. Thank you so much, because we wouldn't be here in this today without him.
We certainly wouldn't be. And don't forget, 10 goals this season, leads the team in goals in all competitions. And, yeah, like you said, if he wasn't in this team, we'd definitely be a championship outfit right now. B team, though, they finished their campaign on a high. Since the last time we recorded, they played twice. They had a 4-2 win at St James's Park over Newcastle. Tyler Dibbling with an incredible hat-trick, carbon copy hat-trick. I'm sure you've seen that as well. And Jimmy Morgan finishing them off. Dibbling, by the way, 16 years old, enjoyed his first training session with the first team, and then he earned a place on the bench against Brentford. So that's brilliant. I mean, 16 years old, I mean, what were you doing at 16, Tim? Because I certainly wasn't named as a substitute in the Premier League.
Oh, my God. What was I doing as a 16-year-old? I was a fucking idiot, 16 years old, let alone getting into a Premier League bench. I was just figuring out trying to figure out how the human body worked at that point in time,
exactly.
Growing up and getting old.
Yeah. So it's just incredible. Brilliant. I mean, let's hope he can flourish next season in the Bs and the under 18s. And yeah, hopefully his time will come soon. Their final game, another northeast side, that was Sunderland. This time it was inside St Mary's and a 1-0 win. Thierry Small getting the only goal of the game. He's had a good season for the Bees, I think. So there's an option for him to come up next season. Congrats to the Bees for turning their season around, really, because they didn't start so well, and they finished a respectable 7th, 39 points, and that's just 3 points behind Nottingham Forest in 4th place. So that was a good end to their season, and let's hope they can start a little bit better now and kick on next season. Congrats too to the under 18s who won their Premier League under 18 South Division, finishing their campaign with some impressive wins. They had a 5-0 away win at Reading, and then 5 days later a 3-0 home win over Reading, and then Saturday finishing in style at Staplewood with a 5-2 win over Chelsea. So yeah, congrats to the under 18s, and I guess they just need to keep doing what they're doing and winning the league with a 4-point cushion over West Ham, so that's good. Great stuff for them. And the women, of course, they everybody knows, they finished double winners, National League South, and they won the National League Cup. That's in the cabinet. The last two results to catch up on then, a 3-3 draw to Oxford. That second place Oxford. They pipped Ipswich the last game. Casey Rood, Phoebe Williams and Rosie Parnell with the goals there. And then the last league game of the season at home to Cardiff. A comprehensive 4-1 win. Casey Rood, Kira Watling, Megan Collett, and then an own goal. That's a great game. You know, great celebrations. I was at that one, actually. I wanted to take the kids to the last game and celebrate with them. That was an enjoyable occasion. Next up for them, okay, they're not finished. They've got that big game, the National League playoff, and the winners earn a place in the championship. That's the second tier. And the losers go home. So, yes, that's Wolves at Edgeley Park, Saturday the 21st of May, 3 p.m. kickoff. Couldn't be more behind them for this. You know, the team, they've been absolutely sensational. I guess, you know, it would be criminal if they didn't make this promotion now. So, yeah, best of luck to everybody there. And let's hope they can get to that championship. They deserve it. Tim, it's not all doom and gloom, right? There is light, see?
Everything but the senior team.
Yeah.
Senior men's team, that is.
With that in mind, let's get into Brentford then, shall we?
Let's do it.
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
Okay then, Brentford. Four changes, Tim. Adams and Long out. Broyer and Adam Armstrong in. By the way, the option of Broyer and Armstrong up front has only been used on two previous occasions. And guess what? We drew blanks. There's a surprise. Stuart Armstrong back and Diallo in as well. That was a bit of a surprise, I must say. Teller and Romeu dropped to the bench. Tyler Dibbling, as previously mentioned, on the bench, which I'm convinced, right, Ralph put him in there as a way of telling his other guys, you know, look, if you're not pulling your weight, you know, there's plenty more off the production line that are all hungry and, you know, they would do whatever I ask. But, Tim, was this selection satisfying for you? Pre-game, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Straight up, I think Diallo, good shout. Romeu, while he's been fantastic and plays very, very well. He sits holding. He does all the dirty work. You'd think with Brentford, the game's going to be a lot more open. And what is one thing that Diallo has on Romeu? That's little speed. And by little speed, it is speed. So seeing Diallo in over Romeu, thought it was a great opportunity for him. Secondly, Adam Armstrong, people were clamoring for him, hoping for him, get some game time in, and he got it, and he was non-existent.
Well, I mean, he put the ball in the net.
Yes, and I said on the Discord that was great for his confidence so that he can immediately, you know, he is that snapshot type of guy. He's going to get out there.
We saw that against Villa, didn't we?
Oh, yes. That was beautiful, beautiful goal. So seeing the snapshot, get out there, get the confidence, and I thought it would be great for him because you never know when the ball's going to bounce around, turn to him, turn and hit, and that's his style. But it could have been that Broya didn't match up with Armstrong very well, the runoff play. At the beginning, thought it was a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, I think I don't think Broya deserves to start at the moment. I think I would have gone with Shea and Adam Armstrong. But Ralph's got a lot of haters out there before this game. And one of them was his treatment of Adam Armstrong and saying that, you know, he's not playing him enough. But, you know, you've got to back him. He did play him. And you can't really say that he's grabbing his chances, though. He's not doing enough. So none of them really deserve to be starting, do they? None of them are doing enough. They're not scoring goals. We're not creating enough. And Ralph said before the game, it's important to show our identity and be a good, organised team. Well, we didn't do that because we can't defend. We can't create enough scoring chances. What even is our identity now? Because I don't know. I mean, okay, but only three teams have created more chances away from home than us. But only three have conceded more too. So what does that tell you? I just don't know where this team are. I don't know what direction they are. I don't know what their identity is. It's just a complete mess.
Yeah, let's just see if we can provide an analogy of this. I would go with being a leaky faucet. You know, it's going to run.
You have to say a tap because nobody knows what a faucet is, really.
Okay, so a leaky tap. No matter what, it's going to leak, and you just hope for the best on its day. It's been there for a long time. It's been around, and it's good for you. You know, you drink that water up and feel good, but sometimes it's just going to keep running, and it's going to bring up your water bill, and the last thing, it's gonna, just going to keep causing you problems all the way through.
That is a great analogy, Tim. I love it. Tim, like I said before, I want to change things up a bit. So, in summary, we lost 3-0. Goals from Pontus Janssen, Johan Visser, Christopher, conceded from a corner again. That's our fucking identity. That's what it is. We can't defend corners. Right, I've got that out of the way. 3-0. Firstly, I want to say congratulations to Thomas Frank and Brentford. They've had a great season. No one gave them a chance. They said that they didn't have the squad to compete at this level. I mean, well, that just goes to show what great coaching and that team mentality can get you, where it can get you. Their heads aren't in the off-season, they're not on the beach, they're still fighting for everything. Probably we're going to be safe anyway. They're still not mathematically safe, but, they pretty much are. I mean, and in contrast, we haven't looked interested in weeks, and I know it's a long shot, but we aren't safe. And if you have to rely on others, then you haven't done your jobs properly. It's simple. And Saints News Now put this out. I'm sure you've all seen it on Instagram. If Burnley pick up 6 points from their last three, Leeds pick up 7 from their last four, Everton pick up 8 from their last 5, and we lose to Liverpool and Leicester, then we go down. I know it's not likely. It's a long shot. But, I mean, how did we get into this position? And we should be looking up and not even discussing these possibilities. But, hey, here we are.
Yeah. It's just been it's been consistently awful. So we've been inconsistent in our play. I mean, we parked the bus against Arsenal, a nice solid 1-0 shithouse of a win. Scraped out a point recently. And then after that, it's just been, we've just been ass.
The disappointing thing with it, Tim, is that when you were 1-0 up against Crystal Palace, and, I was at that game as well, and I'm sitting there thinking that hold of the second half, Palace are doing whatever they can here to get back into this game. Ralph's not changing anything. We're not doing anything. We don't look interested to get a second. We don't look interested in defending. There's only one team that's going to come out with all 3 points here, and it isn't us. And surprise, surprise, that's what happens. You don't do anything, you get scored on in this league. And that is what's disappointing, is that they can't see it, or Ralph cannot see it coming. And it's just like, what are they doing? And then this game, they just didn't get going. Defensive errors, and you, when you don't score enough goals and you're 2-0 down inside 15 minutes, that's it, game over.
You can cry, weep, hoot and holler and say anything, but once, like you said, sometimes, recently he's made a few changes where he had five at the back with three center backs with Valerie on the right. You can't win. He's done a few things differently. He can be seen as stubborn, especially with his on-field substitutions. We've seen this going back a couple years now. Something's got to change. And I don't know if it's the mentality or the system. And I did want to talk about the system a little bit, because seeing how we had 19 chances and what we created yesterday going forward, I don't think any of those chances outside of maybe one or two were truly quality. I think that we are flat, literally and figuratively, going forward. Once we get to a point where we establish the presence in the final third, then we're just passing it around between the center mids and just kind of hoping, maybe throwing a cross in with the end, and hoping for the best. There isn't that break the seams. There isn't that push to make those quality chances, and then we're sitting for long outside shots or giving the ball away because we're poor in handling it.
It's just, it's lack of ideas. It's what it is. It's just they don't know. It's like in the Palace game, they were hoofing the ball upfield and losing it every time. And then they were just having to sit back and let Palace have a shot. That's what they were doing. And this one, like you said, just passing it amongst the midfield without actually creating a clear-cut chance. It's just that there's a lack of ideas. It's Sorry, go on. Go ahead. You're going on to your second point.
No. That's absolutely right. And then secondly, and people are shitting on Salisu and Bednarik, and I apologize for swearing so much. I feel it's only appropriate to vent your frustration. But with Salisu and Bednarik, I generally think it's them being left out high and dry. There's a reason that they have the most interceptions in, you know, they're up there in the top five interceptions in the entire Premier League between the two of them. And they didn't even start all the games. And that's because literally the team is getting exposed at the back. Now, whether you think that's by pushing the fullbacks so far forward that when they're able to catch on the counter on the break that they're the last two back there and then they're the ones clearing the ball. For whatever reason or however it's done, they've been exposed. And I don't like that. I think that they're getting a lot more flack than they need, but they're not the best in the world at what they do. So Salisu has had complete times where he's been dominant, the Man City game earlier this season. He literally looked world class in that game. And then Bednarik has had some solid games, and he's had even four goal contributions this year. He's taken up where the Vestergaard role, which, you know, the big guy, the header, and, you know, knock it in and hope for the best. I think we're leaky at the back because those are the two issues. We're leaky at the back because the center backs are high on drive and we're flat going forward and we just can't do it. And so when you're giving up goals and you're not able to score them, you're a relegation fodder team, which is what we've been playing like since February.
What's the solution, Tim? What do we do? Do we change managers and change the system, change the players? But what do we do now? What do we do in these next two games to stop us getting humiliated?
It's, wow. You're asking a loaded question here that I'm not Ralph. I don't have the expertise of understanding everything about it, but I've watched enough games and have enough history in playing soccer in my entire life that recognizing that I think we are weak when it comes to disciplinary items. I think that our positional awareness is poor. And then I think that there's the true lack of creativity. Armstrong has the ability to do some of that, but you're missing some flair, and that's hoping something we thought with Gineppo, but he lacks so much discipline that he's been completely dropped.
Okay.
Right now, what do I do? You stop from other people from scoring. That's the biggest thing right now. And just hope for a 0-0 or even a 1-0 loss and hope that Arsenal, who's 2-0 up now in the 11th minute, keeps pummeling Leeds and all the other teams don't necessarily push against us. And then hope for the best in the summer because people are saying Ralph in, Ralph out. I will definitively say I am not Ralph out now, but you see the next two games, I'd say it's an over 50% chance that he's going to be Ralph, that it's going to be Ralph out, going into the off season.
I think he's out. I think he's gone. If I'm honest, I'm not saying whether I'm in or out. I just think that's what's going to happen. All right. Let me pose this question to you, Tim. Ralph stays and it's new players or Ralph goes with the same players. What has the best chance to succeed?
It's who do you change out?
Yeah. Do we need new players or do we need a new manager? If we get new players in with Ralph, do we succeed? Or if we get rid of Ralph and keep the same players and bring a new manager in, do we succeed? Or is it just going to keep happening?
Well, let's take the Leeds perspective here. And I'm just trying to provide that as a example because they just got rid of Marcelo Bielsa. And to Jesse Marsh, who is similar and like-minded. And what has he done? Well, he's done about the same. So to me, when that's there now, that's one thing to be able to do it mid-season. It's another to have an entire off-season to do that. Is somebody else going to be better? I don't know. I don't think that anybody else can really do better than 45-50 points with the club. You get a really massive push that Ralph, who in months like February, who was potentially up for manager of the month at that point, can do it. And that's what's kept us in. And we've seen the flashes that allowed us the brilliance. And, we're talking for a top 10 finish. We're talking Europa. I don't know. But the one thing I do think, though, with the club is that they have something set up that they know what their new manager is going to be coming in. They talk about Ralph retiring. I think that is going to be the key. Who is that person? I don't know who that is, but do they want them in now? Do they want them in mid-season? Is it someone tied or affiliated with the German national team, which is the assistant coach right now over there? There's the rumors, but he won't come through. He wouldn't come through us until after the World Cup. Do we want to dive in and use that as a mechanism of where we're at? Okay, so where are we at the World Cup time? Then we get the manager and we get a new system in, and we have 3 weeks to go from there.
Well, because you said about Jesse Marsh and all that, and how you get rid of a manager late on in the season and nothing's really changed. Let's take at Burnley. Look at them. Look at their situation. Another team that's struggling to stay in the league. They get rid of Sean Dyche. Everyone's up in arms about it. And then they bring in Mike Jackson. Again, I mean, I even said on this show, what are they doing? This late in the season, to get rid of a manager that's ground in as much as Sean Dyche and bring in somebody who's not done it before. Since they've got rid of Sean Dyche, they draw him with West Ham away. They beat us 2-0. They beat Wolves 1-0. They beat fellow strugglers Watford away 2-1. And they only just had their first loss yesterday. So it can happen. And I was one of them. I put my hands up and say, look, they shouldn't have done that. But it's worked for them. I'm not saying, look, let's go and get rid of Ralph now with two games to go and we're going to start winning games, because it's not going to happen now. But it can work.
Yeah, it can. I think Burnley and Leeds are different. I use Leeds as the example because they play a much similar system to what we do compared to what Burnley does. Mm-hmm. Burnley is all about the rough and tumble, throwing elbows, causing trouble, breaking things left and right, really, really, really hit you hard, whereas Leeds is trying to run around you. So that's why I would compare it. I think that's with Dyche leaving, they got what they needed with a kick in the rear, and they literally just promoted their U23 coach to get out there. Mm-hmm. So they didn't change systems. They literally just got the kick in the ass that they needed, and they can do that by being even more formidable in their general basic line formation. I think we're a lot more complicated, and I think that the change would be similar to what Marsh would be to for Bielsa is Ralph is to ex-staff member.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll stick with Ralph until that loss at Leicester, and then they'll part ways at the end of the season. We'll stay up, and that'll be it. I think his time will come. But we've had a few messages from people. I put the feelers out there to see what people would want, whether they want it in or out, and just generally to discuss the situation that we found ourselves in, and their feelings and towards it. I'll start with Kev, because I've heard from the Moscow Mush. Yeah, I mean, I simply just asked him, are you Ralph in or Ralph out? And he's just said, yeah, he's in, he thinks he's kept us up, and he's earned himself another season, quite simply. That's where he's going. Tim, you've had your say on whether you think he's in or out, and you're at the moment you're in. All I'm going to say is that I've never been more out than I am right now, but I'm happy to see him stay because I like the bloke. I really do. I really want him to succeed here. But I do think his time will come in the off season. I'll go onto the Discord, Tim, and you can have your thoughts on what some of these people have said. Incidentally, if you're unaware, the Discord, it's a group chat and it's open to all. So if you'd like to join, share your pain for this club, then reach out to us and we'll get you in. So I'll start in the Discord because they're our most loyal fans. We've got Grown Man Hassling, or Alex, as he's known. This is what he has had to say on the situation. I say this with a heavy heart, that I am now fully committed to Ralph out. The positives have been some wonderful giant-killing matches against City and Liverpool, but I'm constantly left baffled by his decisions tactically with starting lineups and with substitutions, which is crazy to say given that those issues were a problem since he began at Southampton. and the excuse was he's adjusting to the Premier League. But I don't think that holds up after 3.5 seasons. I see a pattern emerging that seems to be repeating each season. You know, the slow starts, then gaining momentum and playing consistently well with some spine, getting fully embarrassed for a match, then a tiny flicker of hope with a few good performances before the full collapse. To me, it seems like because of his tactical rigidity, the players are fatigued and maybe give up on the system. And we've been fortunate to see a change this season with some new ideas and systems, but those end up getting torn apart. I admire how much he's put in to the club and this team and Southampton in general. I'm just out of slack to give him, seeing the team go from having an identity to playing entertaining football to one that just seems to be running around like a chicken with its head cut off. So, yeah, that's what he's had to say on that. He does go into more about, you know, our saving grace has been James Ward-Prowse, which we've already mentioned. But what do you think about this one, Tim?
He needs to take over for Dan Sheldon with that eloquent write-up that he just had. To me, it's where people would be coming stale to the idea of what would be uneasiness. Now, if you're pushing, say, 50 points and you are a consistent 10th place finisher, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. But people, at least with us, we don't want to be scared. We don't want to feel that our livelihood as a Premier League team is in the question. We want to be in the Premier League. We feel that we are a Premier League team. Are we going to be in Europe every year? Well, if you're realistic, your expectations is to win the league. Obviously, that's always how it is. But if your realistic expectations are to say, we're going to try and push for Europe every year. But if not, we finish 10th, we finish on 50 points, we have some solid season, we bring up the youth ranks, and we are a classic team where we can, stay financially stable, push it all through, more power, that's great, but the staleness, the 40 points, the scaredness, I can see why everybody and anybody here would be over 50% Ralph out at this point.
Yeah, thanks for that, Alex. It's great. He also said it's worth mentioning putting those 9-0 losses under the microscope again. I think he's right. By contrast, we've got one from New Jersey, Scott, who's riding with Ralph in still. And he says, let's recall that Claude Puel was sacked less because of results and more because of style. Saints were not a particularly good watch and looked outmatched against the big boys. Ralph goes for it against everyone. Yeah, it gives you a chance 38 times, which is a very, very good point. He's got the results against the big boys to prove it. If the occasional battering is the other side of the coin, then, that gives us positive results against all the top seven teams, say for Liverpool and Chelsea. Then that first Chelsea game was highly competitive. Then I'll take it, Ralph is constantly a victim of his own success. Saints beat Tottenham and Arsenal, and fans think they should be right there with West Ham. But it all depends on when you start keeping score. If we start at the beginning of the season, most thought Saints would be in the relegation scrap all year. I did too. But then after some good results, people like myself even thought European competition was a possibility. But why is that? Why do they automatically think? I get that, yeah. Because of Ralph's success, I refuse to believe that he's just got stupid after... And I refuse to believe that he just got stupid after Arsenal. Ralph inherited a team that looked destined for relegation, and they looked destined for relegation at the start of this season. They're not getting relegated. For all the instability with ownership and the lack of investment, Saints were not relegated, and they really weren't all that close. And that's despite replacing Danny Ings with Broya and Adam Armstrong, who have four more goals between them than Jan Bednarek. Clubs like Southampton need stability. If you think things can't get worse, take a look at Everton. Teams like Southampton can't just overhaul their rosters to fit the style of the new manager. Get it wrong, and like Everton, Saints will almost certainly go down. Ironically, for all the ups and downs that Ralph has had, he's brought stability. There's been tailspins before, but Ralph has always pulled Saints through them. I'll give him to the start of next season and try again. So, yeah, he's Ralph in. So what do you say to that, Tim?
Writing things down and breaking it down. Victim of your own success. what is success?
I think he means that the way that the style that we're playing against every single team, he will go for it. It gives us a chance in those 38 games, sure. And the success of beating those top six teams. He has had it before. There's a blueprint there.
Absolutely. So, yeah, victim of your own success. I can see that.
And fans will think that we deserve that every week. It's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to realize that Saints aren't a European side. They're not going to be. Our main point at the start of the season is to stay up. Saints are not a good side. And people think that we are because we've had success and because we had that period in the season where we were doing so well. People automatically assume that that's where we're going to finish. We're not that team.
We're a suicidal team. Going high and dry, going pushing as much as we can, and like you said, victim of your own success, there's a chance to win every game, but there's a chance to get battered every game too.
Mm.
And if you go out and say we beat Liverpool again 1-0 next week, which would be very, very unlikely, are you sure about that? Like, you know, how are we going to feel then that, all right, well, we can't beat Brentford, but we can beat Liverpool. Now, there's always a chance to, you know, if you want to beat Liverpool, hell yeah. Like, I'll take a battering from Brentford to beat Liverpool. You know, it's the monkey's paw idea. Well, you're going to win one of your last three games of the season. But you're going to look like absolute ass for the other two. What do you take with it? So despite the replacements being like Everton, I don't ever want to be compared against Everton. Come on. Let's never be like them. That is a slap in the face because the expectations of high, then the consistent mediocrity, and what is the tailspin? And it's basically a disaster movie on another scale. We're a C or B rated disaster movie where they are pure cannon fodder every single day this entire year. So to me, I am happy we are not Everton. I do not want to be compared against them, and the thoughts of it scare me that we could even be anywhere near them.
More messages then. I've got one here that actually wishes to remain anonymous. I have been Ralph isn't the right man for over a season. I don't think he is a bad manager overall, so a bigger club might work. However, I don't think he fits our club, or the players are just fucking shit. Looks like he's lost some of the players' faith, and I think another manager can get more and better out of them. His formations, tactics and subs are poor, and we always have been. We don't attack well, and we never have. We don't defend well, so I've always said that I'm not bothered if he walks away. I've had to find reasons to go to games this year. I, however, think the club is not run well. This amazing model they talk about is not sustainable in the league, and daft, really. Buy for under 10 million as a target, and Simmons admit, you know, we will sell Tino to Liverpool in 2 years' time. The fans understand this and think it's right. I think fans want to see us win a fucking cup and show some ambition for a change. It's just dull as fuck. So what do you say to that? I kind of agree with the fact, because I've said this before, that this modern plan that they want to sign these young players for under a set price and make success out of it, I'm not so sure it works in the current Premier League. Yeah, so I see what you're saying there. But then again, you know, Leicester did it.
If you've watched Ted Lasso, the anonymous person is just a eloquent version of what Roy Kent would say. So with a few less swear words, but I absolutely see why. The frustrations, there are so much to it. For every three frustrations that we go through, we have a super high and that's what keeps you in 15th place in the season. If you're consistently shit all year long, but we aren't, we have those blips of could be even just pure class. The first half of Tottenham game, I have never seen us play like that ever. And I mean, we were literally playing like prime Barcelona, and that's crazy to think about in that first half with so many chances. And it was just, you couldn't have dreamt it up. But nice job voicing your frustrations, and I appreciate whatever the anonymous guys just said.
Okay, I'm gonna turn to Instagram now. I got a message on Instagram from Tony Adams, not the Tony Adams. I'm veering towards Ralph out. He seems to have lost his way tactically, doesn't know his best 11, and his subs, or lack of them, border on bizarre at times. Players look like they've lost confidence too. If he goes, he needs replacing ASAP. That being said, he'll go with good wishes from most of the fans. That's quite a sensible reply from Tony there.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely
keep on getting this tactically and subs pop up. But, you know, are you sure that Ralph knows his best 11? Do you think that's right?
We had that best 11 there for about a month or so. And then for reasons that I can't think about going back, since that's over a couple of 3 months now, I don't know. But he doesn't need to go immediately. I am not in the camp, and I feel 100% confident, and he should not go now. In two games at the end of the season where you make the opportunity for that transition, I wouldn't blame them whatsoever. But you can't do that now. You can't shake up.
Absolutely not. No.
You can't shake that up for consistency. You know that in the next two games, we have a shot against both of those teams. Now, is the likelihood of being able to? No. But we're going to roll the dice, and hopefully we don't hit snake eyes, but there's a chance that we can roll a six and double sixes. So I don't know. I really don't know, but keep voicing your opinions and the frustrations, because with a Brentford 3-0 loss, that's not where we should be at. We should have been able to escape away with a 2-1 win, and then we could anxiously say, okay, what do we do next season? Then we can have more of a Ralph in, Ralph out, like a true 50-50 battle, and not where people are dominating the conversation of Ralph out and completely being justified.
I've got a Ralph in here. Someone, Hamish from Instagram has said Ralph in, but he needs to drop a few players and maybe sign more in the summer. Simple. This goes back to what I said to you about, like, you keep Ralph and let him go with this current squad, or do you keep Ralph and bring in some new players? But this is all a big, big but, okay? We need to get there first. We need to get to the Premier League next season, and we need to have a good transfer window. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like because of the new owners. We don't know how much money they're willing to invest now. Just don't know. It's all very well saying, yeah, we need to sign more players, but where do we need them? Who's going? If there's a massive clear out, everyone's been talking about getting rid of the deadwood. Okay, you could talk about Walcott, you can talk about Redmond, you can talk about Valerie, the goalkeeper situation. We don't know what's going on with Broya. Is Adam Armstrong the right man to go ahead next season? What we don't know who we're replacing yet, but there's a lot that needs to be done in this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Seeing the model with Sports Republic, I think we are Brentford on, I would not say steroids, but more like creatine. So just a little bit extra water pushed in, a little bit extra oomph and jazz, and I think we're going to make some crazy or unique signs where we're going to pull somebody from the Danish league, and they're going to come in and, you know, absolutely rock the house for those three or four games and then look like shit the rest of the year. And then we're going to sign some 19-year-old wonder kid from Bosnia or something like that. And we're going to find we're basically going to be playing Football Manager and having a good time with it. But then I think there will be one big signing, and it's going to be in a 10 position. And I think they were talking about the Shakhtar Donetsk player, Tete. I could absolutely see that coming in, promising a full, you know, that he's going to be the starter. He'll be starter outside of Armstrong, and that you're going to flare, you're going to come in, you're going to go for it, because, when I say Brentford on steroids, take a look at Ivan Toney as their highest cost signing, where they signed him from Peterborough for seven million pounds.
I think Christopher Aya cost more than that last summer.
Oh, okay. So prior to the Premier League, it was Ivan Toney at 7 million. So take the Ayer example. So the center back from Celtic, who are we going to be able to go in and, who are we going to go in and get? And I think it's, yeah, the right players can definitely make a difference and getting rid of the deadwood. So, you know, if we can get 10, 15 million pounds back and then spend 40 million and hope to get Broya in on a loan another year, and that's it.
I want Christian Eriksen. I want
that
him.
That would be lovely. That would be nice.
I think he wants to stay in the capital, though, doesn't he? That's the thing. Tete's probably looking at this, watching this Brentford game and thinking, am I going there? Fuck no, I don't want to go there. It looks like a nice place, but no, I'm not going. George Burden on Instagram says, he's Ralph in too, but he's trying. He's trying to be Ralph in, but he's finding it harder each week. And that's pretty much where I am, George. I think the same thing. I am. I'm Ralph in, just. But I say I've never been closer to being Ralph out. Saints News Now. He's always active on Instagram. You're obviously following him. Everyone's following him. Do it. if you're not. He's got in touch with me and he says he's just disappointed at the current state of the club, considering Ralph is near perfect for us. Our current run is inexcusable and I think it's time to start looking for a new manager. If Ralph stays on, I can't see things changing. There we go.
Nailed it. Succinct to the point. I like it.
That does surprise me with him, to be honest. You know,
he's been Ralphing for a long, long, long time now. And if he finally is hitting the switch, you definitely know that somebody who's really dedicated and follows it and is really invested, it's a lot.
It's sad. It's a real sad time, isn't it? This is it. It's, mm-hmm. I'm worried that he's right, that the fact that if we don't change something in the summer, then we are going to see this poor, slow start again. And by then it's going to be too late. And we'll be having this same conversation again next year.
Mm-hmm. If Ralph is in, then they're going to be throwing a bunch of money at him, with him. I think that he can see the writing on the wall and say, oh, we're actually going to be, you know, net neutral, or we only have $10 million to spend. Ralph is going to, should be like, yeah, I'm done. He's like, I'm going to retire a year early.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, then, still more doom and gloom. Our next opponents, of course, Liverpool on Tuesday, the 17th of May. That's a 7:45 kickoff. This, Tim, is not going to be a fun one. okay, they just dropped points against Spurs as well, so they need a response. And the only good thing that I can think about this fixture is that you're going to be in Southampton for this one. And like you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, we can be there. together through it. And also Moscow Mersh is going to be in Southampton for this as well, so yeah, that's it. Other than that, it's going to be an embarrassing loss again.
Let's look at what our chances are, and I'm going to give about a 15% chance that we can win the game. It's
that high, what, really?
Yes, and I will give the benefit of the doubt because of the way the schedule lines up. So let's take a look at what Liverpool is doing right now. I think that our odds are higher because of the schedule and the way it lines up, because I think they're going to have to rotate. You've got the FA Cup on Saturday, and then you've got the Champions League coming up on the 28th. And you still, I know they're still pushing for the lead in the Premier League, but I genuinely hope. Now, Klopp is not going to be the guy who's going to let loose there, but we always show up against the big guys, and this is our last game to go for it. So we've got this pointed on bullseye, and they've got other things where they could hopefully look it over, where you got to do an away trip midweek, and it's going to look ugly, and, let's just get out there, scrape a win, and do the best that we can. And just wow.
What do you want to see here? Do you want to see us go for it? Do you want to see us? I mean, would you rather see us go for it and get pummeled, or would you want to see us just sit back and have nothing all game, just back passes after back pass? You know, Forster having more touches than Armstrong. And you know, what would you rather? How would you want to see this game unfold?
So let's go and replicate what we've done in the past that's been successful to us. So how did we falter against Liverpool? Well, we went for it last time and we got pummeled. When we were successful at a high-end club, Man City, two draws, which were fantastic, we truly did sit back, and while we had some high progression and some good counters, that's where we thrived at, and to be able to expose weakness here and there, and chances are going to be less. That's what's worked for us. So, you know, Arsenal, our win was 5 at the back.
Should we take that approach against Liverpool and hope for it?
It was dull. It was, it did not, the Arsenal game was truly dull, but we won.
But don't forget, we were coming off the back of a 6-0 hammering at home. So, they had to do something. Ralph did change things up and we sat back. I would rather see us do that. If it means we're going to get some points, let's do that. But then again, we tried it again the week after against Burnley and got beat. So, you know, it is just a roll of the dice at the moment.
Yeah, well, putting 5 at the back against Burnley was a dumb choice.
Yes, of course. So, yeah,
that was the dumbest. To do
it. But Ralph was obviously choice. Too scared to change that because it worked against Arsenal. He thought, well, if it works against Arsenal, we can surely do this against Burnley.
Well, Arsenal could be a meme club at times, just can be a joke. And they weren't in. So to me, to us, you know, what are we, you know, what are we going to do? I think he'll put five at the back. I think he'll put Lianco and Silisu, and I think he'll put Valerie, and we'll try to shithouse our way into a not too much of a battering.
This is what it's come to, Tim. We're just saying that, you know, we hope for not too much of a battering. This
would be regardless of if we were at 50 points playing Liverpool. I mean, literally every other team should be saying, okay, we're going to go out. We're likely going to go out and get battered against them, unless you're Man City or, you know, a top six club, which you're expected or whatever it might be. I think we hopefully don't get battered by them.
Okay. Right. Okay. So with that, I'm going to ask you for your prediction, Tim.
I'll say we do five at the back. I say Lianco will start. Valerie, Forster will finish out the season. McCarthy will be on the bench. I think we'll do Romeo, JWP. I think then maybe it'll be like a 5-2-3 with Broja up top I actually would prefer Adams, but I think he'll start Broja. Maybe they'll start, last time we did a 5-3-2, where we put Broja and Adams up with a five at the back. We got blasted. So no chance we're going to do that again. You might see more like a Redmond Elianusi on the wings, or Redmond Armstrong on the wings. but I will take a 3-1 loss.
Wow. I just think they've got to approach this game as damage limitation, and they've just got to throw as many men back as they can. I don't care if it's going to be boring. They just need to get something out of this. And they need to, well, they need to stop Liverpool winning the league for one thing, but they need to keep themselves safe, and they need to give the fans something to cheer about on the last game of the season. I can't see it happening. However, I can't see us scoring, and I think Liverpool are going to score a hatful. I can see a 4-0 loss, and that's what I'm going with. That's how bad it is for me right now. I'm going 4-0 out. That's just a terrible way to end this season, isn't it? But that's it. I'll get the Moscow Mish and Alex's responses shortly.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitier. Thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, then, we'll start in extra time with the predictions. We didn't record last week, of course, with the Palace game. Things were a little bit busier than I first thought here. Sorry, apologies for that. But taking both of those into account, the only mover was actually you. Well, you didn't move, actually, but you just scored points because you went for a Brentford win. But the scores now are 30 to Alex, 36 to you, 41 to me. And Kevin still on 49. So, yeah, a brave but nicely predicted one against Brentford there. And the Discord. So, Tony M, you, Fred and Dan all went for Brentford wins. No one went 3-0, so just the 2 points for everyone. I have actually put the league table up on the Discord, so you can check it out on there. And Alex, you're still in the lead on 25 points, so not long to go now. And everybody, I want to hear your Liverpool predictions in there as well. So, Super Six, the two rounds, round 55 was won by James Mitchell with 12 points. Round 56 was Neil Parsons on 18 points. Overall lead, Tom Hennigan sitting on 454. Again, not long to go now. Fantasy football, Tim, fantasy football, where do we stand on fantasy football?
I am doing very well so far. I still had the bench boost, and so with the double game week, there's a lot of moving parts going on. Very happy so far with it because Connor Cody's on my bench, and he scored for Ben Foster to he's got +4. We're looking pretty decent overall. And then let's go with the league. So in the In That Number podcast league, we've got why not David Phillips at 2406. Pushing strong there above the, IU running, 2379. Magical Saints for Bob Brown at 2348. Crying without Ings, good one. Usually it's flying, but crying without Ings at 2313. Nottingham Forest, Harko Sunar, 2280, rounding out the top five.
Yes, and my team, Tim, do you know what I did this week? I made a change. I put Mark Cucurella in. I thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring him in. He's a likeable character. He's going to play. But I bottled it because I thought they're playing Man United, so I'm going to put him on the bench. and I also put the Brighton keeper Sanchez on the bench as well because Ben Foster has a double game week, so I went with Foster. Sanchez scored 7 on the bench, and Ben Foster scored 4. So I fucked up big time, and yeah, I had Kyle Walker-Peters on, and he scored a massive 1 point. I did, however, have Connor Cody, so... But yeah, Cucurella got me 12 on the bench, so no points there. Just a horrible, horrible season for me, and I want it to end, like I said before. Tim, we need to do our championship table. I'm going to give you more time to do this, and maybe we can do this next week. A reminder, if you appreciate what we do and you feel you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head to buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber. Blimey, we need a pint. The weather's getting warmer. The football season needs to come to an end now. So, yeah, it would be really, really appreciated. Next week, we'll be back at some point to cry over the Liverpool game and prepare for that last game of the season against Leicester. You're in the UK, which is something to look forward to, I suppose. until next week, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.